Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 12, Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, Wednesday morning. Another great rankings out there. Bear just pumping out the content last night in that D block, getting the show going. Can we get you up higher? I don't need to hear from people if they're not going to say anything. Let's get you in there and mix it up a little bit more, will you?
You might have to take that up with management. I'm kind of like the space filler at the end of the show where we need to occupy a little more time. Let's just throw a Bear on there to just say some ridiculousness and get a reaction.
But with that reaction, last night, obviously, the obvious idea of Michigan still being ahead of Michigan State. And when I look down, Bear, obviously Oklahoma probably drops, they dropped the farthest, dropping from 8 to 5, 13, 5 spots. Ole Miss, 8-2 with, I don't really feel anything to play for. Any chance of moving up, although I am very excited to learn that the Egg Bowl is back on Thanksgiving night, which will be a great one.
Deuce McAllister Memorial Bowl.
What's that?
The Deuce McAllister Memorial Egg Bowl.
All right. Didn't one year it snow? I feel like we had snow one year in probably the Egg Bowl.
They probably did. I wouldn't be surprised.
I didn't know they get snow down there. 11 Baylor, Wake Forest 10, Oklahoma State 9, Notre Dame 8. And then obviously Michigan State plays Ohio State in an elimination game, what we'll have and all that. This idea, and I know Reese, he said it's going to get traction, and I'm buying in right now. The idea of Notre Dame, assess.
They need Cincinnati to get in, is my opinion. So, I mean, is that possible? I mean, I was just running through some scenarios as well. I mean, say you have Ohio State wins the Big Ten, Georgia wins the SEC, Ohio State wins the Big Ten, so then Cincinnati wins out, and say Oregon loses the Pac-12 championship game, and say Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma in the regular season, loses, or Oklahoma gets there and they lose in Dallas, the one loss Big 12 team. Then you're looking at options. You're looking at Notre Dame, who would be potentially a one loss, who would have to be a one loss team, or you're going to be stuck taking a two loss team that didn't win its conference. Whether that would be Oklahoma, whether that would be Oregon, whether that would be Alabama, that's the scenario that they need. They need whomever the one loss leader is in the Pac-12, or which would be Oregon because it's the only team with one loss.
Yeah.
Or Oklahoma State to lose the Pac-12 championship game, and then put themselves in a mix with a bunch of two loss teams.
Because the idea of how much we've held this Cincinnati Notre Dame game. And the weight it's carried. Like, I almost think if that's not the case, like chaos otherwise, and it was them or Cincinnati, they'd have to have Cincinnati lose twice.
Correct.
You know, like you just can't override that. And, correct. You know, I know the guys are saying that, you know, it's going to get played out and, you know, it'll be a lot more clear, but man, this Cincinnati, this Cincinnati thing, I could totally see, them getting jumped. And I also, obviously we'll talk about this week, the idea of them not being able to cover a game as a big favorite. I know gambling's not part of it at all, but like that's what I want to see when I'm seeing these teams given double digits week after week, a la Ohio State last week. You want to prove you're in it? Go out and handle business like that. And you know what, Ohio State? Do it again this week, okay? And then you can put a lot of people's, like me, questions to bed.
And that's the thing. It was 38-20 and they needed that interception late to give them a 17-point win. So, like, I don't know, man. I think they're going to wind up getting in because I think I do.
Okay.
I do. I think Georgia will win the SEC championship. This is right now. Obviously, things can change based on injuries or whatever. But I think we're going to get Georgia winning the SEC. I think we're going to get Ohio State winning the Big Ten. I think Oregon is going to win out. I think they're going to do it. I think Utah's a good matchup for them. And that's potentially two of their three games. And then I think that would knock Alabama out with two losses. And I think Cincinnati is going to get in. That's my hunch. But who the hell knows? I haven't been right about much, so.
Yeah, let's start there with the idea of Oregon. Because as predicted on this podcast the last couple of years, I've been able to see the Pac-12 in the spot where they're going to pee down their leg. And I'm with you there on this week. I think they do. You know, going back and looking at that game, I remember where I was. I was at the Big Ten title game where our guy Tom Engel sat down and took in that Pac-12 title game with Utah and Oregon. When everything, Utah was a winning in. They were winning in, and they played their worst game of the year. Going back, they were down 20-0 at half, and that thing was done.
It was just a terrible performance on the biggest possible. It was everything that they in the conference did not need. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was gross how terrible they were. They couldn't get a first down.
No, and you know, the idea of Oregon, and that was Vardell 2 years ago rushing for over 200. I think he had like 208, and they rushed for 240 as a team. And that's the difference here with Oregon and Cristobal. Even though I don't really care for much him in-game, you know, scenario, I think him and Moorhead do a great job of getting their team ready, and he saw it against Ohio State with the run game. And what I think you're going to see with Oregon here, getting Anthony Brown more in the mix because he hasn't been great throwing the ball, is getting him going in the quarterback run. And obviously we know all the X's and O's. When you get the quarterback involved in the run, it gives you an extra blocker, all that thing. So I sort of lean towards Oregon in this matchup, plus the points in this one. But I could totally see myself taking Utah in the rematch, knowing what will be at stake. And we just got some odds sent to us from Caesars. Even though it doesn't have the Big 12 teams ranked higher than Oklahoma, which is puzzling to me. And you have – where are they?
So Oregon. You're basically looking for an Oklahoma State odds to make the playoff, right?
Yeah, I want to see Wake Forest too. I think there's a pass.
Let's see. I think DraftKings might have some stuff up. I'll tell – okay. While you look at those, I will peruse DraftKings. How about that?
Here's the deal. And if you are a believer in Oregon – they're a plus 300 to make the playoff. And, I mean, you're not going to get a better price than that, because if they win, obviously, the odds will go lower. Oklahoma's also plus 300. You know what email I didn't get was the updated Heisman odds and Caleb Williams. I haven't gotten that one.
That might be off the board after. But, hey.
Yeesh.
It was absolutely worth the shot at 60-something to 1. I'm never going to regret taking a flyer on someone who was 50 or 60 to 1 who had a realistic path to be in the discussion. So anyone who wants to take a shot and talk about what a joke it was, fine. Go right ahead. I'd make the bet all over again. The interesting thing is, like, that being said, I think now is the time to bet CJ Stroud. Okay. If we're talking Heisman, because I think they're going to beat Michigan State. And I think then voters, of course, because they react to records, will knock Kenneth Walker down a little bit. I think Georgia is going to win the SEC, and that will give Bryce Young a second loss. And people will knock him down, and not non-SEC champion. No one from Georgia is going to win the Heisman. And I think you're going to be looking at CJ Stroud there, even though he probably is the fourth best player on the offense. Behind the two receivers and Henderson, I think he's the guy who's going to garner the vote. By the way, nothing up on DraftKings yet.
Okay.
My friends at FanDuel do not have Oklahoma State or Baylor or Wake Forest up either. So,
would you say since Connecticut legalized gambling, you have more friends or less friends at these places that are offering the?
I have a lot of friends.
Okay.
I have great friends at Barstool, who have been awesome. Mm-hmm. I have great friends at DraftKings who have been awesome.
Okay.
Sugar House has been great. Okay. MGM, we had a little paperwork. But we hammered that out, which was terrific. It's just been kind of one that's been
all right. Okay. What do you despise? Go ahead.
I was going to say, go ahead and go. We'll finish this, and then we'll circle back to something.
Because I've come to, it just feels like we get asked to do it a lot. What do you despise more, talking Heisman or talking NFL MVP?
NFL MVP. Who the hell cares?
I don't know.
Who the hell cares? Like, seriously.
I asked because I actually – because here's the deal with the
Heisman. I didn't realize the goal was to win – be named NFL MVP. I thought the goal was to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, or win the conference or win your division.
And going back to the Heisman, does anybody want to win the Heisman? That's the problem I have this year. And you mentioned Stroud. I get your point. It's a great point. But like you said, he's not even close to the best player on their offense. Not even close. I still can't tell how good he is because of the throws that system gets. The guy's just wide open. So I like your point there. I'll take a look at the old Stroudster, and we'll get it down. Do you think Ohio State makes the playoff?
Yes. Yes, I do. But I don't think next week's a gimme at all.
No.
I think up there with how well that Michigan defensive line has been playing, mm-hmm. I think it could be interesting. Yep. But I do think they win the Big Ten.
Okay. We would use that for a future that we had at the beginning of the year. Ohio State currently -220. To make the playoff, and I would say, like I said before, it's only going to go up if they win this week because that eliminates another team from the conference and puts them on the ladder ahead, and then it would come down to it. I don't see Michigan on this list. Oh, wait, here they are, +350. Huh. So they're leaving it up to that game next week, which in early talks, I know we saw the early SEC line, which is Georgia -3, -3.5, depending where you look. Have you seen Ohio State, Michigan posted anywhere?
I have not. I would think it's going to be probably around Ohio State 6.5, 7. Mm. That was kind of where. By the way, so what'd you say Ohio State was to? Was it Ohio State to make the playoff or Ohio State to win the Big Ten? Basically the same thing.
What'd yeah, Ohio, I got Ohio State at -160 or 180 before the year to
That's
win.
That's what
the
I was going to say.
And now they're -220 to make the playoff. Michigan's +350. So. Right. There you go. If you're into the money line and looking ahead and the parlays and all that, our A&M obviously didn't get there last week. So that was a one game closure.
Again, but what we talked about though, you play A&M and then if they lose, you play Ole Miss on the money line.
Yep.
And that's
got a little change there.
That's exactly what I did. I played Ole Miss on the money line at plus money to up against my $6.30 that I was able to. I was able to get more at DraftKings, but and it came out and worked out fine.
That A&M pick, I gave it out. And as the week goes on, I mean, that's the deal. Giving this in on Wednesday, you guys are there on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the A&M's not going to win this game.
The one thing that I'm mad at myself about over this is not giving more credence to the fact that they had played one true mm-hmm. road game, and that was at Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm mad at myself for.
Yeah, I totally get you there. And like I said, that's as the week's going on, it's like this. It's not going to happen. And I mean, credit to them getting back in the game. Obviously, the turnover killed. But shout out to Ole Miss and DJ Durkin, man. Like that defense from what they were to what they look like now, obviously still have plenty to play for with that Egg Bowl. And I would think they got a good chance at a New Year's Six, right?
Oh, yeah, no, you they finished.
They went out. They're in. They
finished 10-2. They're going to be in that mix. And I know they're talking about hoping to be able to get to the Sugar Bowl, which would be a
Wow.
Unbelievable.
The Grove travels to New Orleans. Yikes. All good times down in the Grove? People take care of you?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Okay.
It was fantastic. We had a couple of great meals. Got to hang with Wright on Friday night, which was a whole lot of fun. Hadn't seen him in a while. But what a pretty little. I mean, the square was all decked out with some Christmas lights up. It was just beautiful. Weather with a little chill in the air. It was great.
They know how to do it. That is for sure. I had a good time in Charlottesville. Thanks to my man, Mr. Long. And I just want to admit that I have a crazy love for Notre Dame tight end Michael Mayer. That guy, I can't begin to tell you, Bear, how impressive he is. Have you had Notre Dame? Have you had a Notre Dame game this year?
No, we went game day did the
Chicago
show and then left.
I can't get over the
build. Not had Notre Dame this year.
The build of this guy.
We had them obviously in the ACC championship game last year. We had them in North Carolina last year.
Yeah. And he's not even draft eligible. After watching him in person, I can't begin to tell you how much I think he's. I think of him. He's that good. He has every tool, built like a Greek god. And the idea of him playing college football again next year is something that I'm really looking forward to, because we're going to appreciate it as it's happening. Looking at this week, obviously Maxion got going again last night. Good games. How about the Granite getting it done again? Absolutely. Nice little comeback late.
7-4.
Factory. Every year. What is the percent chance you put on James Franklin being the coach of Penn State next year?
My question back to you would be, where do you think he goes?
USC.
I would say that's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
I like James. I think he's a really good recruiter. I think he's very charismatic. Won a Big Ten championship there.
Yep.
But it does feel like a situation where, because his name is always linked, whether it's real or whether it's his agent doing work, the fact that his name is always out there, it gives kind of the impression that he's job hunting. Maybe that ultimately does alienate a lot of Penn State fans and, more importantly, decision makers. But the fact that there are more jobs now that are open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think LSU is realistic for him either.
Nope, I don't think so either.
But you've got Virginia Tech, which is open. You've got people think Miami could open.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the AD getting fired, that probably is better than 50-50. And I like Manny a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think people think Florida could potentially open. What other ones am I missing?
Akron.
Washington is another one. That would be an interesting possibility. So,
because here's what
I think it's 50-50.
Okay. All right. That's what Scott said too. I haven't met one Penn State fan that would be upset if he is not the coach next year.
Yeah.
And my question back to them though is, can you upgrade? Can Penn State upgrade from Franklin?
That's the question.
Who
do you think you are? You are not getting Matt Rhule. I will tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule is going to be in Carolina next year. In the
NFL. Red hot Matt Rhule. Red hot.
So like who do you think you're getting?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you hire Dave Clawson?
I would hire Dave Clawson if I were a higher profile program than Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's a great offensive mind.
Ooh, and the only thing I would say is I want Warren Ruggiero, the offensive coordinator, to make sure he's in the deal too. Because that thing is just, I don't know how to explain it when you watch their offense. It's amazing to me. And all right. So we're there.
Who do you now, if you're Washington,
yeah.
Who would you target?
We were kicking around Wilcox before. But I know that's gonna be a hard sell to the fan base because of his lack of offensive prowess. And what they've looked like at Cal. That's the problem there, because that's exactly what Washington has right now. And I think that's a conversation you got to have where, I mean, does Wilcox say, all right, you hire the offensive coordinator, I'll take the job. And I think he would do that. Knowing what he's had to deal with at Cal is just something I don't think head coaches feel like they should have to answer into the different nuances that have come across there. I will say this at LSU. I really want Billy Napier to get that job. And I'm not sure. I don't know where it is. I haven't talked to people. But when you look at that and how fat, like they go to Tuscaloosa and compete with their third stringers. Like the recruiting there, like a guy that could just come in and win right away. And the idea of what he's recruited to Louisiana and the ties he has to the SEC, the guy's a flat out football coach. And that's why I would hire him. At LSU, you've had the bravado with Les and winning the press conference with Coach O and getting a title out of Coach O. And now to be able to come back and just get a football coach, I would hire Billy Napier at LSU and Baton Rouge. That's my take on the coach.
I think Napier and probably Jamie Chadwell would be the two guys at Virginia Tech. Don't you? Doesn't that feel like a pretty good progression for either of those two guys? Chadwell's an East Tennessee guy, and Napier being from that, I think Napier and Chadwell will be two guys to look at Virginia Tech for sure. LSU, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know who they think they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly have no idea.
You also got a really good job out there we didn't even bring up, and it's TCU.
Correct.
I mean, you talk about facilities and everything and hotbed and being right in the middle of everything.
The only thing I would say about that is how does the TCU job get perceived now that the Big 12 is kind of it's a Power 5, but it really isn't a Power 5 league anymore with Oklahoma and Kansas is, you know what, leaving the conference.
Yeah.
But in terms of what the what they did, what GPAT did building that
program
up and the facilities, everything is brand freaking new.
Unbelievable.
I think
there's enough where it's enticing for the coach.
And you can win that league now.
That's what I'm saying.
Oklahoma out, like you can win that league.
Facilities, recruiting, all of it. It's incredible. And like just being in Charlottesville this week, like, whoa, does that place need an upgrade with facilities?
Yikes. I haven't been to Charlottesville probably in 15 years since we did a Thursday night game there.
Hasn't changed. So
we need to take some of that NCAA tournament basketball money.
Yeah.
Redo the help the football program out, and it's funny. That's why I think they were smart in holding Armstrong out last week.
Yeah.
And we talked about the, I brought it up on the show a couple of years ago, how Bryce Love played against Notre Dame. And like, they had no chance of making the playoff.
No.
Bryce Young had no chance of winning the Heisman. He played him against Notre Dame. He got dinged up even more than he was, and they needed him against USC, and they lost a close game. It's an opportunity for Virginia to win the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
You got Clemson as down as they're ever going to be, and you're going to face someone else for the conference title. Yeah, you're a big underdog at Pitt, and I'm surprised that they're that big of an underdog. But you can beat Pitt and beat Virginia Tech. You're in the ACC championship game with a real, real chance to win a conference title. So I think it was smart for Armstrong not to play last week. I know it probably pains you as a former player to hear that because you only have a finite number of games. But if you don't think you can help the team and you've got bigger goals in terms of winning a conference, I think that was a pretty good decision.
No doubt. It sucks because what I was, you know, it was funny because literally going around tailgates and everything, people were like, oh, he's out. Next guy. Oh no, he got fitted for a special flak jacket. He's going to play tonight. And it was just amazing how different the opinion was. And I'm like, wow, this thing is really, really tight to the vest. But when you look at that, okay, there's the deal. How many chances are you going to get to play Notre Dame at home on ABC? And that's where it is. You get a chance to show yourself. They got it. You know, they got recruits, you know, coming in. The sideline was flooded. You still get all that. It's just a chance to show out, but also being smart about what lies ahead. You know, recruits are all over the place. Where I'm in a suite, Cooper Manning walks in. I'm like, Arch is here for Virginia? He's like, no, I have a daughter that goes to school here. I just came up for the game. I was like, oh, man. Well, I was about to break some news. But great talking. Oh, my God. I can't believe how good a guy Cooper Manning is. That guy, oh. I was in tears laughing at him. He's so funny. But Virginia, and let's start, you know, looking at this week's lines. I mean, Virginia plus 14.5 with Armstrong, the idea of that, give me that.
I know.
People they could win that game on the field with him.
I brought that up. One of my good CFB follows. The tailgate 10 always every week. He's like line that you're surprised with, line that's too good to be true. And the line that I said was surprising was Pitt minus 14.5 against Virginia. Cause I assume Armstrong will be back and
people
immediately jump down my throat. Hey, Pitt's going to score 60. Have you seen Virginia play defense? Yeah. Well, they held Notre Dame to 28 last week. We said the same thing about North Carolina's defense the week before, and they seemed to do a pretty good job. Certainly in the second half against Pitt. So I don't know. I think Virginia with Armstrong will put up points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that surprised me. The number was that big.
I like it, Virginia. I'm staying with the self-imposed ban of the noon games. It's helped me out. And there are some games.
So you will not be laying the 19 with Ohio State this week?
No, not official. Not as an official pick. I could see myself having. I think the most fascinating game to me on the board is Wake Forest Clemson. Just because I want to see what Venables dials up against this. Now, I know they're not as great defensively as they have been, or even in the beginning of the year, losing Brissett. But the idea of Wake Forest scoring 45 and winning at or home against NC State last week, who I think is a pretty good defense, right? And you just go through and look at these defenses that Wake Forest has faced, and they've done well. No matter what, I mean, Syracuse, I still think is a pretty good defense. That game goes to overtime.
Well, you just mentioned two of my losers last week. Oh. Like, what Syracuse and NC State gave up? What, combined 90 points? Appreciate that. Kidding. Hashtag straight fade.
There you go. So with that, I mean, Venables is a guy I put up at the top of the list in the country when it comes to defensive coordinators, and he probably gets more notoriety because he has better players than, say, Jim Leonard, who's another guy at Wisconsin who I think of when it comes to defensive coordinators, right? And Jim does a lot more with less talent, I would say, to put it that way. But Wake Forest, knowing what's at stake, there is a path. They can do it. But can you go on the road at Clemson? You're an underdog, and people are telling you that. And I think Wake Forest is – that's exactly what they want. Clawson going in there saying, they you know, three-loss teams favored over you. Go in and prove yourself. Do you have a feel – I mean, Wake Forest's defense is just the problem. And I mean, the Army idea, North Carolina, obviously Clemson has been as disappointing an offense as there has been in the country. So it's
Shipley's healthy now. They're running the ball better now with him back in there. So that's promising.
And that's why I would give the edge to Clemson in this game, because the possessions might not be as ample as they were in, say, a North Carolina game, where Clemson's going to try, and I would think, do what they can to keep the ball, you know, keep the ball in their hands and move the chains. So I'm rooting for Wake Forest because they have that opportunity, and it doesn't come along a lot. But if I had to lean in this game, I would take Clemson.
Yeah, I would too. I'm back to that other noon game I had mentioned, the Michigan State Ohio State game.
Yep.
I'll wait for an Ohio State team total. I guess you're looking at what, around 42, probably. If you look at minus 19 total of 60, like 67, like 42-24 is kind of what they're expecting. I would go over in this game. I mean, you've got the worst pass defense in terms of yards per game in the country. Michigan, you had Purdue through for what, 530 a couple of weeks ago in Michigan State's last road game. As good as Walker has been running the ball, they can't keep teams from throwing on them. They can't keep opposing offenses off the field. And when they do, it's just big play. So I would wait. And I mean, now you've got the number one offense in terms of efficiency in the country. Those three wide receivers and Anderson, like, now will Michigan State potentially get some points? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would wait and look for an Ohio State team total. Now that I said Ohio State, I didn't say that before with the playoff. Like, one thing that I people are going to say, I think, in the next, well, it doesn't matter for Georgia if they win or lose, they're in the title game. Oh, it matters. it definitely matters, because if they win, you're the number one seed, and we were having the debate before about who's going to be four. Is it Cincinnati? Is it, like, if you lose, Alabama's going to be number one, and you're going to be stuck in a 2-3 game with Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about a massive – but, gee, play Cincinnati or Ohio State. What would you rather do? So, that SEC title game, and I'm sure Kirby and his staff are going to be in gray, like, beat Alabama, beat Alabama, beat Alabama, beat Alabama. Yep. It matters. So, because if they lose, you're going to be stuck in a semifinal that is very worthy of being a title game.
It's a lot like the idea going back to 08 and 09 with Alabama and Florida. And that season, I was on at Alabama the year before. How they didn't cover that game, I'll never know. That was 08. And then 09, they come in. And that's what that season, I mean, you hear guys talk about, that's what that season was all about, just beating Florida. And I was absolutely loving the idea. And I thought it would be that, you know, and the way they came in with that mindset and knowing how focused they were on beating Florida, and then everything else was going to be icing on the cake. So to me, Georgia has that same feel to be able to put Alabama away and knock them out and do all that and get over the hump and beating them. There's all that on the table for them, which is another opportunity that you must live for and possibly having it happen. Another Big Ten game that sticks out to me is Nebraska plus 9.5 at Madison. And the idea, Wisconsin finding, you know, people say their identity, right? They're running the football. Mm-hmm. They got their true freshman running back, who's just incredible to watch. And, you know, the idea of them in Notre Dame and how they've gotten fixed, or they've got it right, right? But they've just played inferior talent, you know? Wisconsin's played, you know, 1-6 in a row. You know, they gave it to Iowa, who was reeling off of that loss. So is Wisconsin fixed? Are they a bigger threat to Ohio State than Michigan? I don't think so. Are they going to be a pain in the ass to play? Yeah, defense will make things difficult, and they'll get in Stroud's face. But they're going to have to score with Ohio State, and I don't think they could do that. But the idea of Nebraska, who this year one thing they've done is play good defense, and I'm really interested to see how that matches up, because you know you're not going to be able to trust Martinez on the road, and that's been been the crux.
The number is 9.5, but basically. Is that you know you're already giving Wisconsin 7 for a pick 6.
There you
go. So it's like really the number is like, is that baked into the number, or is the line like really 2.5? So like, yeah, it's dangerous there. Dangerous.
Yeah. I to me, it's just, I want to see Wisconsin show me you have every asset fixed, every facet. And that, you know, goes back to the quarterback playing well, where they've just said, you're not going to throw the ball. We're going to run it. So I think Nebraska has the goods to hang around in that game. Will they have the cataclysmic turnovers?
Yes.
Probably. Just like Maryland. How Maryland didn't cover that game last week against Michigan State, I still don't know. But that's why they put the lines on the games and we don't.
And that's why it was Timmy B a long time ago who I dubbed the "That's Why You're Vanderbilt."
Yeah.
That's why you're Nebraska. That's why you're Maryland.
Brutal turnovers. What else here? You got a pick? Let's start with the picks.
Oh yeah, no, I love Oregon this week. I think it's a really good matchup for the Ducks. I think everybody is assuming that they are going to lose. This is a game in the trenches, and Oregon with Sewell and the physicality of that defensive front seven, the offensive line, the way Dye has been running the ball. You mentioned Anthony Brown. Quarterback run game. I don't think Utah has the offensive skill out deep to really force Oregon to respect that. Mm-hmm. I like Oregon a whole lot in this game. I think it's a really good matchup for them.
Utah to me feels a lot like the narrative around Notre Dame. Like, hey, have you seen them lately? Have you seen what they're doing? And it's crazy to me because everybody just throws away last week because they say it's a look-ahead spot in Tucson. Oh, they annihilated Stanford. You know, Oregon lost to Stanford.
You realize Stanford stinks now.
Yes, and Oregon did not lose that Stanford team, as we talked about last week. You know, you beat UCLA at home without Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Yep. You know, whereas it's just, you know, we want so much more from Oregon, but Utah sort of has the same – I mean, they went to Corvallis and lost by – you know, lost by 8, you know, beat Arizona State, and Oregon beats Cal, beats UCLA, beats Colorado, beats Washington, beats Wazoo, all by double figures going back to the UCLA game. So it's funny to me that everyone's going to be on Utah here. I do like the idea of Oregon plus the points. I would definitely buy it to 3.5 because I think if Utah wins, it's a field goal game. I don't see this being a big blowout. I still think Oregon has the goods to hang around. Obviously, they should. They're the number 3 team in the country. But yeah, I would lean with you there on Oregon.
I love the Pac-12 slate this week, by the way.
Oh boy.
Like I love almost every Pac-12 game.
Well, there's only one game because it's big game.
That's the only one I don't have a play in.
Well, I'll give you one. Take the visiting team, given the point.
You're laying the point.
I mean, McKee's back, but he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. How good is he going to be? And I just think about Cal Bear here, and I think about the angst that poor team must have in not being able to play. You know, like it's
been tough last couple weeks, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. And then on top of that, you get to go out against your arch rival, who you lost to last year because of a blocked extra point. Like everything funnels for Cal to come out and play their best game of the year with a coach I've talked finally about all his whole tenure there, who I think the world of, and getting his team ready. And you look at the other side, like there's nothing to hang your hat. I mean, yeah, McKee's back for Stanford, but like that there's no guarantees. He doesn't have the guys he had at the beginning of the season. The offensive line isn't what it is. The defense is just brutal. So I look at Cal here in a the possibility to make a statement. They still have games at UCLA and USC. But man, that did also, how bad is college football in the three biggest recruiting places in the country? Florida, Texas, and California. It's horrendous. Scott and I were talking about it the other day on the pod. I mean, it is so bad. But anyway, that'll be one of my picks. I'll ride this thing going against Stanford and take Cal minus the 1.5. And that line, it was 5. And then the McKee news came out yesterday. He practiced, I believe. And that's Cal minus 1.5. I still think they win the game. Obviously, take a money line.
Yeah, I'm going to take Colorado plus the 6.5.
Love them. Love them.
Like that way, you can't bet Washington with Dylan Morris at quarterback. You just can't. Offensively, they are absolutely inept. And I do appreciate them getting the cover for me last week. It was a game.
It wasn't easy.
Absolutely. Whether you got, you and Scott did a terrific job on bad beats with
thanks
that.
For watching.
They were absolutely the right side in the game. And if they would have not covered, I would have probably thrown things through the wall. The game was everything that I figured it would be. Arizona State being dumb, unable to move the ball on a good Washington defense, and then 24-14 in the fourth quarter to what it was. But, yeah, I think after the way that game went last week for UW, Jimmy Lake officially being terminated, like you lose to ASU, you lose to Oregon, now you're going to Colorado, and it just sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. And CU actually showing a bit of a pulse last couple of weeks too, beating Oregon State there. They played okay last week at UCLA, but I'm on Colorado getting the 6.5 here. I'll probably put a little bit of money line on them as well.
All right, I will stay in the Pac-12 and I'll take UCLA in the greatest uniform game there
love
is.
Love them.
I don't know why they're only giving 3 points, but people say it's stinky. You could have that USC outfit right now. I will take UCLA with their full coaching staff. And I saw Jackson Dart's going to start. I didn't know what was going on in that. Who were they playing where they were rotating? Oh, Arizona State. We had Arizona State 2 weeks ago. Didn't understand that. But, yeah, I'll take UCLA. And what do we got? 4 o'clock? That'll be nice. The sun's just going to be going down.
Home unis.
Yeah.
Both. Oh, it'd be great. But seriously, you're right. Why? I had to do a double take when I saw this was only 3. Did USC finally figure out to get tough physical guys on the defensive line to slow down a power running game? Did they all of a sudden emerge from the blue? Like, is Drake London miraculously healthy enough to play? No,
I don't understand it.
Like, it's the Notre Dame game without Drake London available, the way Kyron Williams and that Notre Dame offense is bullied them around, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and it hasn't moved. I looked at it Sunday. I'm like, that game is circled, and thinking it's going to go to 4, maybe even 5. I still take UCLA there.
Talked about how the way Cal lost last year to Stanford, the way UCLA lost last year to USC. Like you think Chip and those guys have been steaming over that for a year, waiting for an opportunity to get back at them?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Two totals in the SEC I wanted to touch on, because I like the under in the Bama-Arkansas game. I don't think Arkansas is going to be able to do much offensively at all. And I look at how frustrating the Arkansas pass defense can be in that rushing three and dropping 8 against Bryce Young. I'm not saying they're going to hold him down all game, but I think, like, I went back and watched last year. Like, that's the worst game Mac Jones had throwing the ball. He only threw the ball for 200 yards. I think Devontae had 2 punt returns in that game possibly. But I look at the ability for Arkansas not to stop, obviously, but to slow down. And I think Alabama is going to really want to try and get the run game going again, because they know they're not going to be able to win games just throwing all across the yard, because Young's not going to have that time against Georgia when you look down the road. And Auburn also has a good secondary too. So I think the focus will be on running the football for Alabama in that Arkansas game. And that's why I think that's a high total of 58.5.
It is, and you've got obviously injuries to Alabama as well, with Roy Williams being lost probably for the year, and then elsewhere. So, like, I think this is a interesting situation for Alabama as well, how they approach this game as a big favorite, knowing you have Auburn next week and then potentially Georgia in the SEC championship game. So I agree. I think that potentially could be an under type game as well. I'm going to take it back out west quickly.
Yes.
I'm playing against Arizona State just like I did last week. ASU on the road, Pacific. I mean, you talk about brutal, long, difficult travel.
Mm-hmm.
Tempe all the way up to Seattle, back down to Tempe, back to Corvallis the next week. And like, they would have lost that game if Washington had pulse of an offense.
Yeah.
Now you've got a team who, while Oregon State's defense is not very good, you've got an offense that's really good. And ASU, every time they go on the road, it's same stuff. Turnovers, penalties, undisciplined. And I like Oregon State. I like Oregon State here getting the points here as well.
Pac-12 Bear. Love it.
In honor of you, in honor of Bill Walton, in honor of the Pac-12, in honor of the Conference of Champions, in honor of me wanting to go to Las Vegas on Friday night to call the Pac-12 championship game with Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. That's why I'm all in for the Pac-12.
Okay.
Pac-12 shill.
Stinkiest line of the week. I have mine.
That's disgusting.
Baylor +1 and the Little Apple against our Purple Cats. That makes no sense and scares me away. Man, does that smell. Baylor probably coming. It's got to be the biggest win under Aranda, right? Last week. Mm-hmm. And now you go on, like, everybody's patting you on the back. Great job. Now Aranda's job's getting thrown around for a possible openings, and you're an underdog. And what will be? What time? I believe that's a 5:30.
What a weird time.
They'll be what is it? Not what's the what's their chant?
Oh, well, they do what is it, the Wabash Cannonball? Is that what they do?
Emo, whatever.
Oh, Emo, yeah.
Emo. Yeah, Emo. I was gonna say Sky Ma. I know that's Minnesota. But yeah, that's my stinkiest line.
It's mine as well.
Okay. All right.
I see pick in a lot of places. I mean, it's Kansas State or Pass, right? It's got
yes. Yes.
That's disgusting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like Auburn this week too.
You do?
Yeah, laying 7. I mean, no Bo Nix, I know, but Finley's competent.
Is he?
They should be able to shut that South Carolina offense down.
Okay.
I know people probably are playing against Auburn because they have Alabama next week and Bo Nix, but I think the way they lost that game last week, I don't know. I'd like the 7.5 there with Auburn.
Two games involving non-Power 5 games there's good programs involved, though. UAB +4.5 at our Roadrunners, which some in San Antonio are calling the biggest game in school history. And also Louisiana +4.5 at Liberty. I like Louisiana.
I got no feel on either of those. Two good games.
Yeah, really good games. I'll be watching those for sure.
I mean, obviously, selfishly as a fan, I will be rooting for UTSA.
Do I take Kansas again?
What?
Do I take Kansas again?
How great was that?
Oh.
How great was that? Was that not awesome?
Incredible. Incredible.
It was terrific.
I was so good. 2 weeks early on them.
So good. I was very, very willing to sacrifice my Kansas under one Big 12 win ticket. As long as you can get
there, you go. Look at you got a heart. Everybody says you don't have a heart.
For them to go in there and beat Texas, that was freaking awesome.
Incredible. They almost did it a couple years ago, if people remember.
I know.
Les almost went in there.
Yep.
But
and just remember. college football has been blown up for realignment and everything. For a team that lost to Kansas on their home field, is a 30-point favorite. So just remember that.
Boom.
And that's why people don't like Texas.
Am I too late to jump on the go against Cincinnati train with SMU plus 11?
You probably are. You probably are. I'm staying away from the game.
That's interesting to me, man. That's like
SMU's going to score points on them.
It's because everybody obviously before the year you talked about the Indiana Notre Dame game, right, with Cincinnati. Those two games, bye week in between, blah 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 blah. SMU is by far a better football team than Indiana. I mean, it's not even close to me after looking at what Indiana did last week and how they've trended. So I do. I mean, I just thought Cincinnati's defense would dominate more, and they haven't. And now you face the best offense you faced. I mean, shoot, numbers-wise, they're better than Notre Dame was when you played them when they were playing the three quarterbacks. So, yeah, that's what, 3:30? Need a weather report at historic Nippert Stadium.
It'll probably be cold and dark. some will be down at 4:15. It'll be probably in the low 40s, and you'll be good.
Historic Nippert Stadium.
Very cool place, by the way. Have you been there?
I have not.
The way the stadium's kind of built, like it's a very hilly campus.
47 degrees.
Perfect.
That'll go down. I'll be taking SMU in the office pools for sure. Are you worried about Michigan in a look ahead spot laying 15 at the Snake Pit?
Yeah, I am. Because Maryland has the ability to score. But again, just like we talked about before with Nebraska, they're going at some point, Talia is going to throw an interception and it's going to be costly. They're going to turn the ball over and it'll break serve and they'll have to chase points the rest of the way. But no, I absolutely think that this is a game where Maryland can just kind of, I don't think they'll win, but I don't think it'll ever feel like Michigan is in jeopardy of losing. But it's going to be one of those where it's like kind of, all right, Maryland kind of still in it, hanging around. And I'd take a plus the points if I had to play the game.
I got some info on Navy. ECU, shout out to our Pirates. How about that?
Absolutely. Still alive, technically, to reach the AAC championship game.
Really?
Right, yeah, right?
Because
Cincinnati, because they play –
Oh, yeah, they do.
They play Cincinnati still, right? They got Navy and Cincinnati. So if Cincinnati were to lose one of these games and they were to beat Cincinnati, then they could be that second-place team by winning that head-to-head tiebreak.
Okay. A Navy insider, let's just call him Bill. Let me know this one. Got a text. I'm riding with Navy plus 4 this week. ECU just clinched a bowl berth for the first time since 2014. Navy has won 17 consecutive games on senior day with fans in the stands. The Mids lost to Tulsa 19-6 a year ago on December 5th. Senior day in a cold and empty Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. He likes Navy plus the 4, knowing what's at stake for senior day. Thanks to our Navy insider, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Is BYU good?
I don't know.
Because they're giving 20 and going to Georgia Southern. Like, they should smash them. Smash them. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they will.
Yeah, I don't know if they will either.
Would you rather take Miami at home minus 8.5 or Oklahoma State on the road minus 10.5?
Oklahoma State, not even close.
Why?
Because Oklahoma State has a defense. And Texas Tech coming off that emotional big win.
How about that?
I know Oklahoma State's got Bedlam next week, but that defense is good.
Okay.
And I trust them to slow Texas Tech down. I can't. Miami's been a terrible favorite. Who knows what the hell you're going to get out of Virginia Tech. I will say Miami is Manny has not lost his team and they're still playing hard for him, but I can't lay close to double digits with a bad defense.
Okay. 8 o'clock.
I like Oklahoma State this week.
8 o'clock, Fox, late night in Lubbock. Look out. Would
things happen?
All right. Would you rather give 36 and a half with Ole Miss or 37 with Army?
Who does Ole Miss have this week?
Vandy.
Mm.
This is an easy one for me. I would give out Army, but it's a noon game.
I probably would say Army as well. Just because I think there's a bit of a come down for the Rebs after last week and that game.
All right. What do I gotta give you to take Texas this week?
It's Texas or pass for me.
Okay.
But it's more likely a pass.
Right. Kent State would be on the list too, but they're a noon game.
Kent State or Penn State?
Kent State. Flashes.
The Fighting Windhorses.
Correct. What's the travel looking like? You got a nice trip to Ohio. The last 3 weeks, huh?
We got Columbus stay home late Saturday night because you get there's a 6 o'clock flight to Detroit. From beautiful Port Columbus Airport. So you go to DTW, get yourself a layover. So we'll
get you a nice meal at PF Chang's.
Yeah, could go to PF Chang's.
There you go.
Right, I forgot about that.
That'll be rocking on the Saturday.
As long as have good, yeah, that's a good idea. As long as the Wi-Fi is working there,
they got good Wi-Fi.
Did they do? Okay.
So Detroit's excellent.
I know the Sky Club has the good Wi-Fi, but I'll have about 3 hours to kill with my apps. As Detroit has, as the state of Michigan has plenty of wager.
That, I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous deal. I being it over is. In Virginia this past weekend, just firing live. Not, I think I bet Baylor live in that game like 5 times.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be great. Yeah, you got
because the score wasn't changing, you know. It was 7-7, 10-7 forever. And it's like, all right, I still like them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's much better than going into the Sky Club and having the chicken salad and whatever 9,000 milligram soup that they have for dinner. Go get you
the old minestrone.
No sodium in any of the
minestrone
food. Yeah, but yeah, you got MGM, you got Barstool, you got DraftKings, you got FanDuel, you got Sugar House. I think it's like Little River Casino is what the Sugar House platform is. Yeah, you got Caesars. Yeah, there will be plenty of action. But no, yeah, Thursday fly there. I think dinner Thursday at Jeff Ruby's, which is get that barrel cut filet, medium rare. You're good to go. Friday, one of the better Italian spots on the docket, Giuseppe's, which is right across the street from Grater's.
Okay.
Then Saturday, we got noon kick. So we got to hustle from the set inside the stadium to the truck, do that, and then fly on out and home after midnight on Saturday night, but home Saturday night's a good deal. And then we'll see where we do next. We might, if fall holds, I think we could be right back in the mitten for Ohio State, Michigan next week.
So what you want to call, you want Herbie and the guys to call the Pac-12 title game.
Absolutely. Oh, and they want to call, and then they want to call the Pac-12 title game too. Believe me.
What outcome helps that this week?
An Oregon win.
Oh, because they would be out of it, and it's a less important
game. Win would mean that Oregon still has
terrible question,
college football playoff aspirations, and that would make that Friday night game, just like it was a couple of years ago, very big for their playoff hopes.
Allegiant Stadium. I almost have to – seeing what we've seen from the Missouri – just getting back to the slate real quick before we wrap up. Seeing what we've seen from the Missouri defense this year and seeing what we've seen from Florida the last couple of weeks. Is that just a blind over? It's 69 and a half.
It has to be. I guess you got to worry about
the winner of that game is scoring 50.
You would think so.
Right?
You would think so. It's clear the Florida defense has no interest in playing.
And that got a little dicey last year. Mullen and old coach Drink getting after it. That's an opportunity for Missouri to just, if they could, man, that'd be a nice win to get. Anything else before we get to the Big Mike Happy Recap?
I like South Alabama getting the 28.5 with Tennessee. I mean, I know South Alabama has not. I mean, they another bad beat special.
Oh, how about that?
That was terrible.
Five trips in the third.
I feel bad about Pamela Maldonado, who does a really good job over on some of the Yahoo stuff and some of the stuff online that she does. Like, I that was like her best bet of the week last week.
Oh,
South Alabama.
Sorry, Pamela. And
just follow her torture online last week during that game. But every game that they have lost for the most, they've been in every game that they played. I know Tennessee is a step up, but you just got to wonder, Tennessee taking that early lead last week, buy-in, and then you just continue to get absolutely bludgeoned by Georgia the rest of the way. Like, I think that probably took a physical and emotional toll. So I can see the Vols starting a little slow, potentially winning the game comfortably, but 30-point win is a lot to ask.
All right. I like BC this week, but it's a noon game also. Man, I like a lot of noon games. Thank God that I'm not giving these out. Probably a good parlay to put against if you just want to go against all my noon picks. All right. Big Mike, happy recap.
Big Mike, happy recap.
I will get started here. I'm going to take the under in the Bama-Arkansas game. I'm going to take UVA plus the 14.5. I'm going to take UCLA minus the 3, and I'm going to take Cal minus the 1.5. Possible plays in the column, Louisiana plus 4.5, Kansas plus 21.5, the over in the Missouri-Florida game. You, sir.
Oregon plus 3, Oregon State plus 3, Colorado plus 6.5. Play them all on the money line as well. UCLA minus 3. Auburn minus 7.5, Oklahoma State minus 10.5, South Alabama plus 28.5. I'm going to hold out for an Ohio State team total as well.
All right. Save money like a champion with Allstate. Visit allstate.com or call an agent today for a quote. Championship savings for the win. All right, Bear. Travel safe. We only got, what, one more week before Championship Saturday. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, next week is the weird week, Thanksgiving week, with games, I think, basically a kind of a full slate of games on Friday and then games on Saturday, and then we bring it on down to Championship Saturday. Yeah.
We will still
The season kind of flew by the last month. I think, like, the first 5 or 6 weeks it kind of dragged.
Yeah.
But the last few weeks have just kind of flown by, and here we are.
We are here. That is correct. We will do same thing next week. We'll get that pod out for you before Thanksgiving for sure with our great people behind the scenes getting that out. We'll tape it Wednesday morning, and hopefully it gets out Wednesday afternoon next week. And, yeah, that'll do it. Week 12. Good luck to everybody out there. If you need anything else, hit us on Twitter, at Chris Felica, at StanfordSteve82. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.